meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. This is Dr. Drew. The literal millionaire is off for the night. He'll be back tomorrow. But in his place, we are delighted to have one of our favorite guests on Loveline, Busy Phillips.
Yay.
Hey, Busy, how are you?
Wonderful.
Thank you. The show is Love, Inc., which is about matchmaking?
A group of matchmakers in New York City, yeah, whose love lives, whose own respective love lives are kind of a mess.
Shocking. And so tell us about your character.
Well, I play Denise, who is sort of one of the best matchmakers in the business.
Here's what your publicist says. An energetic, pragmatic young woman who is skilled at helping her clients find their seemingly unattainable soulmates.
Right, yeah.
Yet struggles with her inability to find true love.
Right.
Somebody wrote that.
I didn't write that. No, she's like the best in the biz, and yet her own love life is a complete disaster. Because she has this like very clear idea of what makes a good match, which is compatible people with compatible interests, just being compatible. That's her idea.
Airs Thursday, September 22nd, 8:30 UPN, right?
Right after Everybody Hates Chris.
Right.
Which we're hoping that...
We're hoping is huge.
It's huge.
And people remember Busy from more recently White Chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Freaks and Geeks way back. And then Dawson's Creek.
Yes. Which you were on.
Which we were on. That was fun.
It was fun.
And you were... Busy was good enough to come out at 1 in the morning and come on the show. In the East, they film in North Carolina. And they'd start filming at 6 in the morning. And Adam and I would have to go out every night and broadcast from 1 to 3 in the morning. And Busy and Michelle and Oliver...
Oliver, that's
came
right.
Out. The three of you came out.
After hitting a bar
and then having to get up at 6 in the morning and broadcast
right.
again. That was good times. You guys had to live there for a while.
I lived there for 2 years.
That's crazy.
It was intense. Yeah, you guys, Adam hated it there.
Oh, yes. I'll never forget. He was mad at me.
Every time I've been on the show since, that's all he wants to talk about is how awful Wilmington was. But
it
was, honestly,
he didn't like getting up early. He's like working.
Right. He didn't like the work.
And unless he's getting paid an obscene amount of money. He got in the car one morning and goes, unless they pay me 50,000, 50 grand, I'm never coming. I was like, what? Okay, Your Royal Highness.
He also had some problem with the food. Like, he wanted better food on set.
That was very Southern, and that he was upset that this one day the guys all got together, all the Teamster guys, and threw everything into a boiler.
The pot of fire. What is it?
I don't know. It was hellacious, and he got angry about that.
Yeah, so. Well, and maybe rightfully so. I don't know.
Anything else people can look for you on?
No, it's just Love Inc. I think it's really great. I came into it sort of in the 11th hour because I was a recast. They had shot the pilot with somebody else, and then they decided to change the direction of the character, as they say. And so I literally got the job, I think, the last week of July, and I started shooting the series in August.
Wow,
like
that's
the first
cool.
week of August.
That's
yeah,
great.
It was awesome.
Is it out here?
Yeah.
And do you, do you have other films going on? Because you were such a hit in White Chicks. I just imagined that we'd see a lot more of you on film.
I would imagine that too, but it doesn't seem to be the case.
What is that?
I don't know. I mean, you know, films are hard to get, I feel like. And there are a lot of young, funny actresses out there. And I'm just not the first one that they call. So
after tonight, they will. This will be it.
Right.
All right, let's take some calls, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Lila, 19. Hang on a second, Lila. Did you see this airplane land without its crazy.
Oh, my God. We were just talking about it on the way over here, my friend and I. It's like, can you imagine the 3.5 hours
waiting for the landing?
Circling?
Well, at least they had...
Thinking you might die.
They have satellite TV on JetBlue, at least.
I know.
That's what I was thinking. I'm going to watch a cartoon or something, just get your mind off it. Crazy, right?
Or you could watch like the live coverage of your plane circling.
I don't even think about
that's
that.
That's what they're all watching.
Seriously?
Yeah, they're all watching that.
How do you know that?
They turn it off a half hour before they landed.
How do you know that?
Because Anderson Cooper told me on CNN.
I love Anderson Cooper.
He's a great
guy. I am
guy.
Obsessed with Anderson
He's
Cooper.
He's on right now.
Oh, Anderson, where are you? You know, he started on this thing called Channel One, which was this like in classroom educational program. And my high school that I went to was one of the high schools that had Channel One. And I have been obsessed with Anderson Cooper since the get-go.
He was a guest on the show.
On this show?
Yeah, when he was the host of the Mole.
Oh, first right, I forgot about that. Yeah. He's really worked his way up.
This show, yeah. And I'm like, hey, Anderson, I'm Anderson. And he didn't really seem to get it.
Oh, hi, Anderson.
Because I've done his show a bunch of times out on CNN in New York, and I really like him. He's a smart guy.
He's a good show.
The best.
All right, Lila, 19.
Sorry. Okay, two quick questions real quick. The male G-spot is around, like, the prostate, like, the nerves around the prostate, right?
Whatever.
Okay. Well, I learned that actually. This is Dr. Drew, right?
Yeah.
I learned that on your show, so you should know. But how do you reach that? Like, how do you stimulate it?
There's a toy.
Busy.
There is a toy I know about. I don't actually know about it. My friend has one, and he says that he was experimenting with it. And,
by himself?
Yeah, trying to figure it out, and it didn't work for him at all. It's like this really strange-looking apparatus.
I don't even care.
Okay.
Lila, where do you get the idea that this is an important thing to do?
No, I don't know. It was just an idea. I don't know, just kind of something new.
I would say that 95 out of 100 men that you try that on will swatch at you or
leap across
or
the
run
room.
Away, never speak to you again, think there's something wrong with you. I mean, what are you doing? Where did you get the idea that this is something that guys like?
No, it was something that, like, my husband wanted me to ask, actually. But because, I mean, I don't know. I just have no idea how we would reach that.
All right, forget this thing. This notion of there being a male G-spot is total BS.
You know what it is? It's like that men got upset that women have one.
That's right,
and so
we want to have one too.
You have to have one too.
Right. And also, I think
and
the other thing is women are always trying to make men much more complicated than they are.
Right.
Men are so simple. It's this one thing. You do this one thing to it. Something happens. That's it. That's it. That's as good as it gets for the guy, too. That's it. You start screwing around with other stuff. Adam and I have said this many, many times. Sex is like pizza for a male, right? It's just pizza. A little pepperoni, a little cheese. But you start screwing around, throwing too much crust and anchovies. You screw it up. You do.
Yeah, you can't have more than 4 toppings on a pizza.
There are some guys that do like some stimulation back there. Even of those, very few like something actually inserted. And the fact is, yes, there are nerves around the prostate that are uncomfortable for the most part. And
so
very
that's
few guys
how you have to get to it. That's the only way to get to it.
To get to something that causes pain in most guys.
Yeah.
They will not enjoy and will be angry with you for trying.
I don't think that he knew that. So if he
all right. Well, now you may have one of the guys, your husband is sort of requesting it. So you may be one of the guys that sort of likes going down that street.
I don't know.
What they call it, the Hershey Highway?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No good. That's what I say.
Have you ever had a guy that some guys,
No, I had one boyfriend where if my hands ever even got near.
The rear.
It was his, yes, it was like, over.
Yeah, it jumped.
Just no, no desire.
No.
Yeah. Ugh.
All right, Shay, 27.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, we're good.
Hey, Adam's not there tonight, is he?
Hey, we got Busy Phillip.
No, it's me.
Love, Inc., Thursday, September 22nd, 8:30 UPN. Got it? Hey. Write it down.
I wanted to do the Adam Carolla thing, but I guess that'll have to skip.
We can do it. Busy knows how to do it.
I know how to do it. I've hung out with Adam enough.
Go.
Adam.
Carolla.
All right, I had a question I've been wanting to ask you guys. I've been listening to you guys since I was like 14.
Fabulous.
But I heard recently, well, not too recently, but I heard a while ago, one of the girlfriend of my wife said that a few of the men that she was with, while they were excited, would not ejaculate, but would put out a fluid out of their penis.
All right, that's pre-cum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't.
It's a mixture of urine and semen.
Like a lot of it.
They what?
Like, it was like a lot of it. Like they.
Yeah, some guys have a leaky gasket. Some guys put out a bunch.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Is that a common thing, or is that just kind of a rare thing? Or
it's pretty good. To have a lot is unusual, but to have a modest amount is enough to notice it, sure. I mean, some of it's sort of a lubricant that's sort of preparing the soil for the full burden of what's about to come.
Yuck.
That was my question, because I've always been a kind of a dry guy.
Yeah, some guys are like bone dry. Boom.
Yeah, that's me. That's the reason I was like, I didn't even believe it. Like, they're like, oh, what are you talking about?
You
should be doing this too. And I'm like, what?
No. It's not a should with this one. It's just there's a range of what's normal. Here is Wolf 20.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, we're here too. Busy Phillips.
Hi.
Love Inc.
Hi, Wolf.
How's it going?
Great.
Go rent White Chicks.
Yeah.
You'll love it. It's awesome.
It's hilarious.
Oh, well, I will definitely do that.
I'm sure.
I got a question for you, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm kind of in an interesting kind of love triangle thing, I guess.
All right, here we go.
I have an ex-fiance, and she's now married. And she's up in Washington. I'm in California. Her husband's in Arizona.
Why is her husband in Arizona?
Because we were all, I'm not going to say why we were all actually there, but...
They were all at the University of Arizona.
Yeah, there you go.
They're all students. ASU.
That'll work. And basically, he's still in school. Her husband, she moved up to Washington, and I'm in California.
Get to it, buddy. Here we go. Ex-girlfriend, a husband, and you.
Ex-fiance, actually.
Ex-fiance. All right. Husband and
me.
Wolf. All right.
And
she's in Washington, he's in Arizona, and you're in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and it gets even...
Why are you still communicating with an ex-fiance?
Because we're, like, good friends now.
Oh.
Really good friends.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the deal. Uh-huh. This one, this ex of yours is a bundle of chaos, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I mean, to maintain this kind of a dance, it's bad times.
Yeah. But
so what's the question?
I'm like head over heels still in love with her.
Of course you are. Of course.
Wolf, no.
Let me fill in the gaps in this story. You're a nice guy. You're a good guy. You were really into her. She cheated. She's chaos. She can't handle a close relationship. She finds a bad guy who, by the way, can't even hang out with her after they're married. He goes
back to Arizona.
That's perfect for her because she doesn't like having people that are too close, but she can keep you dancing around to make herself feel good. So she got you on the line. What are we going to do about it?
I don't know. And that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Can I write
out
an episode of Love, Inc.? I want
to
write some. Could I not?
Yeah. Wolf, listen to me.
Okay.
I'm a woman. No good will come of this. Here's what you got to do. Ready? Are you ready for this?
I'm good.
You need to stop communicating with her. You need to get your own life in Los Angeles. You need to meet some women. You need to maybe think about going to therapy.
I was going
to
say, busy. Great advice.
And
therapy.
I love the therapy. I'm a real, real strong believer in it. You know, you just finished school not too long ago?
He's 20.
Yeah, we'll call it school.
Oh, okay, so listen, this is going to be... Maybe this will be your...
Oh, how the heck did you know that, Dr. Drew?
He's been doing this for a long time.
Oh, my God. He knows way more about this than I ever wanted.
Okay, so military. Forget the therapy. But
here's the deal. You know why? Let me just... Before you finish, but you know, in my practice, I deal a lot with addicts and alcoholics, I have to figure out what's going on with them without them telling me.
Right.
9 times out of 10, I have to, it freaks me out what I have to, like, read.
Into it.
I have to read the damn minds.
Yeah.
And I do it with these guys, too.
So, Wolf, you need to cut off the communication with her and just start working on, you know, your heart's going to be maybe a little broken. You're in love with this girl, and she does not want to be with you. Listen to me. She does not want to be with you.
And you need to, right. She just wants you there.
Yeah, she just wants to have you sort of be around.
You need more excitement in your life, Wolf. Go join, like, seriously, you need more activity. You got too much time on your hands.
Yeah, well, where do I go? What do I do?
You got to do something like find the Peace Corps or something, Iraq. You got way too much time on your hands. I can tell.
Take a pottery class.
No. Go become a merchant marine. Okay, go somewhere. Get out of here. Seriously. Susie, 30.
Hello?
Susie?
Hello, yes.
There we are. Hey, Susie, what's going on?
I have a question about female ejaculation.
You've come to the right place. We have an expert.
Okay. How common is it?
It's I've never read any data. You know what she's asking about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen Sex in the City.
Oh, what happened there?
The famous female ejaculation episode. It was like a full shot where a girl, it's like Samantha's first lesbian experience.
Oh, right, right, right.
And the woman like gets it in the eye.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good times.
Really gross.
I haven't seen that one. No.
It's more common than you might think. I've not seen any good data on it. It's something that the entire time I've been doing this show, I still find that people don't like talking about it. Women seem to feel embarrassed by it. They often keep it to themselves and feel there's something wrong with them. Only in the last like year or two has there sort of been a sort of more common lingo about it and willingness to discuss it. And did you have that experience where you felt like there was something wrong with you and you kept it quiet?
Yes.
Yeah.
And now I'm single again, and I'm wondering, you know, if the next guy I'm with is going to think, oh my God, you know, is this normal or gross? Or I mean,
no. Hold on. Busy, what do you think? How do you think guys are going to react?
I don't know. I don't think they should think it was gross.
I think most guys initially are going to really like it.
Because it means that they did their job.
Right.
You got like a really strong indicator.
And the more you make him feel like this just happened with him, the more he's going to like
that's
him.
That's a great strategy.
But then you're going to have to deal with the fact that it will lose its novelty with time.
And you get a towel.
And then you figure something out. Yeah, you work something out. But you're concerned about it being initially a problem. I think for the most part, guys are going to be impressed.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Have most guys had somebody,
I would say most guys.
1 out of 10 or, you know.
I think 1 out of 10 is a reasonable number, but most guys have not. 1 out of 10 is not most guys.
Right. Okay.
Okay. But most guys now, I think, have heard of this and probably are seeking it, probably looking for it. God, I know guys too well. Jake, 19.
Hi.
Hey, Jake, what's happening?
How you doing?
We're good.
Good. I got a question. I've tried everything, you know. With me and my girlfriend, when we have sex intercourse, I go ahead and like.
I think we got that. Yeah,
that's the one.
Yeah. I like end up coming like within a minute, max 5.
Aww.
And I mean, it sucks.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make that noise. That was terribly inappropriate.
No,
have you used condoms? Have you tried condoms?
Yeah, I mean, maybe only twice we've gone without condoms. And even with condoms, you know, I tend to last like that 5 minutes.
Well, Jake, there is a medication coming, so to speak.
Of course there is.
No, there's a medication that's going to be available for this.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Please.
How long have you been having sex, Jake?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I lost my virginity when I was 17.
How long with this girl?
With this girl, the first time was maybe about 3 months ago.
So this is kind of new. You got to kind of work it out with her. You might try, you know, pulling a bullet out of the chamber, as we say, beforehand, you know, preparing yourself a little bit.
Well, that's the thing. Like when last night we had sex and it was embarrassing because it was the first time she actually said, you come too quick. And I was like, oh. You know, shout to the ego.
Now you got erectile dysfunction, too.
But then also Anderson. After that, I went home and, you know, I'm like, man, what's up, man? And I, like, masturbated to see if, like, I'd be able to last long even then. And, like, even then I lasted not that long. And
well,
I mean,
maybe a third time. Well, you got to kind of work it out is the point. And you got to try other things with her because is she somebody that, you know, women are different this way. Is she like the intercourse? That's what she wants? Or is she okay with oral sex, too?
Well, I think more so the intercourse, because before we actually had the intercourse the other night, I was, you know, eating her out, and she wanted...
worst expression. Jake. Oh, Jake.
Sorry,
continue.
And after that, you know, she wanted me to... She's like, oh, you know, let's go ahead and do it, but just
maybe let me just offer this up. Maybe okay. She said that because maybe she wasn't getting exactly what she needed from the oral part
right,
of the
right,
deal.
Right. So go ahead.
You know, So maybe you could do some research, or you should, or you could just open up the lines of communication with her. I know you're 19. It's kind of tough when you're 19.
Which is sort of the her saying this was a little too quick for me was actually a good thing. I mean, yeah. I know it gives you the little softening problem, but ultimately it gets the dialogue going. You kind of talk about what else you
should
do.
You should say to her, like, what do you want?
Let's work it out. I got to figure this out. I'll do the best I can. You get a can-do attitude.
Did you find
Jake? Come on, Jake. Break it down. Here we go. All right, we're going to go the other way. This is Julie, who is, who is 21. Julie?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi. I have a cold, as you can tell.
Yeah.
So, and usually I masturbate every night, and I am multi-orgasmic, so I usually get off in like 2 minutes, easy.
All right, hold on a second, Julie. Just particularly interesting night, Busy.
Yeah.
You attract quite an interesting...
I've always sort of felt that, and now I can see that it's actually
true. Must be that loving show, Thursday, 22nd of September, 8:30 p.m. Anyway, Julie, go ahead. So you're multi-orgasmic.
Yeah.
You masturbate every night. You come quickly.
Yeah.
And?
The vibrator. And so I was taking NyQuil, and so I went to go masturbate, and it was taking like a really, really long time. And
then you fell asleep?
No, I didn't fall asleep, but it took a really long time. And I was wondering if it was because of the medicine.
Absolutely. Yes, it certainly can do that. It can go either way, actually. Some women get a little easier that way. Sometimes it gets more difficult.
Really?
Yeah. That whole biology is very complex, person to person, both men and women. And you have that unique multi-orgasmic version of the female, which is you don't. That's made in the laboratory. That's a genetic thing.
Okay.
And so your biology is sensitive to various things. You found something here. There are probably things out there that will make it even easier for you. Maybe make it happen spontaneously.
Caffeine.
Oh well, Busy's got
it. I don't know.
Busy. Yeah, I don't know how you know, but I just guessed.
Try caffeine. Yeah. The opposite of NyQuil.
No, the NyQuil's got a stimulant in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
It did happen, and then it kind of did it in slow motion. It was actually very interesting.
Well,
the orgasm was slow motion?
Spasmed. Yeah, when it actually did happen, it kind of spasmed in slow motion.
Yeah, it was really sort of a low, and it was intense?
Yeah, when it actually did happen. Hmm. Yeah, because it kind of built up. So.
Well, you're more like a normal person then.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
All right.
That's
it?
You.
All right, that's it.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Busy Phillips is our guest, my co-host, filling in for Adam Carolla. Her new show is called Love, Inc. Premieres Thursday, September 22nd, 8:30 p.m. Tomorrow night. Or if you're listening in the east of the sort of Chicago and east, it's tonight.
Oh, tonight.
Oh, you missed it.
No.
Yeah, because they're going to be listening at 10 o'clock at night.
Tomorrow? Wait, I'm confused.
Let's figure this out. It's a lot of the country hears the show on a one-day delay.
Oh, yes, okay.
And it's still at 10 o'clock at night or 11 some places, and so they will have missed it.
Oh.
But the rest of you...
Get it next week. Set your TiVos.
It's a smash. Is it a comedy?
Yeah, it's hilarious. It is so funny.
Do you address the topics, some of the topics we've been
doing?
Some
of them, yeah.
Female ejaculation.
Not yet. Haven't covered that yet. We just moved to the 8:30 time slot.
I either want to be a guest on the show or I want to write an episode.
I think you should be a guest, Drew. Right. Well, I think we should start some sort of thing where every TV show I do, you are a guest star. I will have it written into my contract.
That is awesome. I knew I loved you, Busy. All right. Busy Phillips, our guest. My co-host, and we'll be back just after this.
This is Loveline.
Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. The literal millionaire, Mr. Adam Carolla. Off tonight, Busy Phillips in his seat, thankfully. Thank you. A breath of fresh air. We're having fun.
Thank you.
Really good calls. The new show is called Love, Inc., UPN 830, Thursday, September 22nd. Some of you may have missed it. TiVo, you can't, you already missed it. But next week.
Next
Thursdays
week.
At 8:30. Following
right after.
Everyone Hates Chris.
Yes.
All right. And Anderson, Busy doesn't believe that I sing. So if you would yank that turn Ben Stein on thing. Don't play. Not now. I don't. Thank you. For off the next break. Thank you. All right. Let's go to calls.
All right.
Thank goodness. Renee, 23.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
All right.
Dr. Drew.
Hey, Renee. How's it going?
I'm doing good.
What's up?
About a year ago, I was put on birth control to regulate my period.
Yeah.
And after about 6 months, I've stopped taking it.
my doctor was monitoring my blood pressure, and it went up. And I just felt like I didn't need it anymore. And about 2 weeks, I started my period. About 2 weeks ago, I started my period again. And it hasn't stopped.
It's very common to be there to be a lot of irregularities in your period when you stop the pill. There can be excessive bleeding. There can be missed periods. There can be mid-cycle bleeding. So that does not trouble me at all.
Okay, but the thing is, I'm obese, and it worries me a lot because before it, I think I was on my period for almost 2 months.
Well, obesity causes excess levels of circulating estrogen. The adipose tissue, the fat tissue, produces estrogen, and that suppresses your ovarian cycling, so that causes all that estrogen to build up the lining of the uterus,
okay.
And when you do get on the pill, you bleed a lot when you come off it.
Well, I was wondering, is there anything besides taking birth control that I can do to regulate it?
I can't think of anything offhand. What's wrong with the birth control pill? Why? Why'd you stop that?
My blood pressure
had went up.
And they think it was for sure the pill?
Yeah, I was having it monitored, and my doctor said it didn't go up too much and that she
I would focus, well, yes, there are things you can do to lose weight, exercise, all that good stuff. See a dietitian. You can think about bypass. There's gastric bypass surgeries or these, you know, Foby pouches and things that are really good. And if you really have health-related problems where your obesity is starting to interfere with your safety, that's the time to consider things like that. This is a JR who's 30.
Hello. You know, Busy Phillips, I've been a fan of yours ever since I first saw you, I think, on Get Started on Undeclared.
Yes.
Undeclared?
I was on Undeclared.
Hold on, Jared. He's very excited.
Well, I was on Freaks and Geeks first,
yes.
But Undeclared was the next show that Judd Apatow did, and then, he sort of worked us all into it at some point.
In Dawson's Creek. And so I was wondering, has anybody ever told you you look like a young Jenny McCarthy?
Actually, it's weird. Yeah, I actually have gotten that before, which is strange.
That's
minus
nice.
The boobs. I mean, let's just be honest. But all the people that work on my show now, Love Inc., they just did her show that was on UPN, The Bad Girls Guide. It was only on for a little bit. But like a lot of the crew is the same. So I have gotten that actually.
Nice.
Yeah. So I was wondering,
I saw your FHM layout, I think.
Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm.
I think it was just for the English market, but I was wondering if you'd consider posing for Playboy.
No, I'm not making that noise. It's Anderson. He gets jealous. No, I wouldn't. I didn't really like doing the Maxim that I did, honestly.
Why?
Because it's kind of
how it turned out.
No, it looks great. It's really, they're really hot pictures.
It's hot.
Oh, I know.
Jared, what do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
Oh, that's nice.
You're freaking me out.
The children's minds.
Why? Teachers can't like hot women?
Oh.
What do you teach?
Huh?
What do you teach?
Elementary.
Oh my!
Well, no,
you can't. Just it's what you do with it and about it that troubles us.
You know, it was just one of those things where somebody had told me that it would be really good for me to show me in a different light because I'd sort of played all of these like harsh characters to do one of these things, and it sort of goes against everything that I am. I mean, you know
right,
me,
right, right.
I'm not that girl.
Well, but you can.
I don't know. It
couldn't hoit
the feminist in me. Couldn't.
Did they let you say anything about it? I mean, were you quoted as, you know?
Like in the article, I think that the article comes off pretty great. You know, he was trying to get me to reveal some sort of personal sexual fantasy type things. They always want those quotes.
Right,
and
right.
They really didn't get them from me. I think I was smarter than most of the girls he talks to.
Nicole, 24. I have no doubt about that.
Well.
Nicole?
Hi, yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. I've been married for 4 years. I'm 24 years old. I'm sorry, 4 months. And I was a virgin when I got married, and my husband and I have basically not been able to have sex.
Why?
I guess it's me. I just kind of like freeze up and everything every time we're, you know, getting close, and then he's not able to penetrate.
So is it because you have pain when he tries to penetrate?
Well, there is pain, but it's not, I don't think that that's what's...
Or are you so clamped down that he actually physically can't?
Yeah, pretty much.
Nicole, you're going to have to be real direct with me about this. So you have sort of spasm and anxiety, and he can't sort of maneuver things, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. How many times have you tried?
Well, we've been married for 4 months several times, and like 10, 15, 20, 30 times. All right.
Anything else we should know about you? Were you sexually abused growing up or physically abused?
Not that I know of. I mean, there's nothing that I can think
why?
Of.
Was it a religious decision to hold off?
Yeah, it was.
And are you still freaked out about sexuality?
Not, you know, I mean, I don't feel like I am, but, like, for example, when I went to the gynecologist, I figured, like, maybe I could go and get the whole pap smear or whatever examination done.
Right.
That would kind of, you know, help me alleviate
anxiety. Good.
And when they basically came to do it, they couldn't. And, like, the gynecologist tried to get in just with a finger or something. And, like, I got really emotional and just couldn't go on with the whole thing.
Uh-oh. Is that what you do with your husband?
Not so much anymore. Like, he's tried to take the pressure off of me. And, you know, we are intimate and everything. Just there's no actual intercourse, basically.
My instinct is that something must have happened to you.
Serious religious, like, you know, if you're oppressed in your household, like sexually oppressed, like,
or she was abused with all the threats of hell and damnation,
right.
And stuff.
And
no,
just,
there's no threats of, like, I mean, not in my family, at least. I don't get any sort of thing like that. And my parents are pretty, you know, I mean, I come from a little.
Nicole, yeah? Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Your choice to wait to have sex, when you were married, was that, will you just explain your choice really, you know, briefly? Like, was it because you wanted it to be special, or was it because
you were afraid?
You were afraid the whole time?
It wasn't because I was afraid. I mean, I've been intimate with other guys, not, you know, not to the point of intercourse or anything, but, you know, have done like oral sex and everything like that.
All right. So here's what and this relationship is good. You're happy with the marriage and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you're going to have to kind of work it in. You're going to have to give it a little time, work at it diligently, relax, don't get so focused and freaked out about it being able to happen or not happen. Just kind of enjoy the intimacy. If you are unable to, there may be some anti-anxiety medication that could be available to you, a psychiatrist or even a primary doctor, just to kind of help you over the hump, so to speak.
Is it unhealthy to suggest a glass of wine?
Well, that's similar to what, that's reasonable also. Just something, a way to relax about this. And I have a feeling that once you have gotten through the initial experience, you're going to have tendency towards this vaginismus. And there are sort of graduated cylinders, all kinds of crazy interventions out there for you. I don't think you're going to need all that, because you sound like you're kind of okay with things. You're freaked out. You're having panic over this one thing. Once you get through that, I keep wanting to say over the hump, I think you're going to be okay. Wowie. Damon, 19, you bring him out, Busy.
I know.
Busy Phillips,
hey.
UPN, Thursday, September 22nd, 8:30, after Everyone Hates Chris. Damon, 19.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I was just wondering, I think that maybe I'm having a problem with sex. Not so much a problem, just I think that I'm overly addicted
to
just intercourse. Before my girlfriend, I first started dating, I used to masturbate constantly, like 7.
There we go. That's what I was sort of going for. The average 19-year-old doesn't have access to addictive quantities of intercourse.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Usually a 17-year-old male sex addict, 19-year-old is masturbating a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't know, okay.
I used to do it like 7-8 times a day.
Right, okay. So there was already evidence of at least compulsivity. What's the matter?
That's
light,
outrageous.
A little light. And were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
Are you an alcoholic or addict?
No.
8 times a day, and bipolar disorder?
No.
Huh. Okay, turning over all the cards. Give me what you think it is.
I think, well, honestly, I don't know. I've been exposed to sex at a very early age.
There you go. Well, that's sexual trauma.
Yeah.
Either seeing people have sex or looking at pornography, that kind of stuff. that kind of wires you up in a certain way that can predispose to compulsivity around sexuality. If you then also have an addictive trait or biology, then it can really get some rocket fuel behind it.
Yes.
So, anyway, so if you want to do something about that, Damon, you're 19. It's a little young to head over to SA. It's going to be a tough to you to sort of process on that level. You could get a psychiatrist or therapist who's who has some experience with dealing with this. But ultimately, most people, when they treat these kinds of disorders, they use a 12-step process. And what happens here, this is actually really the beginning of your addiction. That what's coming next is some... you get into weirder stuff and need more levels of stimulation and start getting into dangerous things, there will be consequences down the line. And hopefully you'll do something to interrupt that process before, before it gets out of control. This is Martha, who's 29.
Hello?
Martha, can you get me, hang on a second, Martha, can you get me that textbook in there, but it's a reconstructive surgery in there? Because she has a question about penis reconstructions. I'm going to make Busy vomit.
Oh, no.
Go ahead, Martha.
Okay, my son, he's 7. And his penis looks like a doorbell, basically. It's, I guess, more inside his body. And right. I was wondering, because when I asked the doctor, he basically says because he's overweight.
Is he?
Oh, I'm sure nice. He is, but he's not. He's about 130 pounds.
How old is he?
How old is he?
He's 7.
That seems huge.
That's what I...
No, he's not huge.
He's 7
how
years...
Tall
how tall
is he?
Yeah.
I'm 29.
No. How tall is he, Martha?
I don't know how tall he is.
Oh, Martha, you're 29.
Average height. He's a little bit taller than everybody else.
Are you a Mormon?
No.
This is how they create a penis out of the forearm.
Oh,
for people that want penises attached, women that want to become men.
Transgendered. Have you seen that preview for the show? Transgendered USA or whatever?
No, what is that?
What is it called? It's going to be on... Trio or Sundance Channel. It's about co-eds who are transgender.
It's a beautiful
in
thing.
College.
Would that be his only option? It won't come out like...
First of all, I think 7-year-olds often have little nubs. And if you add what sounds like a huge young man, it's going to even be more so. And, I'd be more concerned about his weight and getting him to lose weight, that sort of thing, than I would about what his penis size is before puberty. It's very difficult to tell what things are going to be after puberty. There are conditions where men can have, young males can have underdevelopment of the penis. Here's one right here. See this? Really busy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and this is, and they're showing bad radio, huh?
Right.
Anderson doesn't like it. And this is where they can reconstruct it and sort of extend things, see where they're doing, they're putting surgeries in there and stuff. And yeah, after puberty, if he still has got an issue, there are things that can be done. They can basically cut the tendon that attaches the penis to the pelvic bone, and that kind of stretches things out. They actually hang weights from the penis to help stretch it out. People have often asked us if that works, but I've only seen it work in connection with the operation. And they can add girth too. They basically peeled. I was actually scrubbed in on this surgery.
Can I just ask? Is when your kid is 7 years old, is that a little too young to be worried about the size of his penis?
The whole thing freaks me out with Martha not knowing how tall he is, and the kid being huge, but her not thinking he's huge.
130 pounds.
My 13-year-old kids are 130 pounds. My kids are. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then worrying about the doorbell penis is a little bit much. Give the kid a break. He's 13. Speaking of break.
Yes.
Time for us to take a break.
All right.
I'm going to make you listen to my singing during this.
Okay, I'm excited.
I'm going to prove to you that I can do that.
I believe you.
Busy Phillips is the co-host tonight. She's Denise Johnson, an energetic, pragmatic young woman.
Pragmatic.
What did I say?
Pragmatic. I don't know what you said, but I just love that word.
She struggles with her inability to find true love yet. You can check it out at www.upn.com. It's a UPN show called Love, Inc. It starts tomorrow night, September 22nd, 8:30 UPN, and we will be right back.
Thank you for calling Loveline. Your call will be answered in the order it seems interesting.
Call Loveline. Call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Line 1-800-LOVE-191. Busy Phillips in the studio in place of Adam Carolla helping me out tonight.
Yay.
The new show is Love, Inc. Thursdays, 8:30 UPN.
Mm-hmm. It's really funny.
What we got here. Interesting. A bunch of interesting calls. Benjamin, 28.
Hey, Dr. Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I had a question for you. I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, boy.
I started testicular cancer about 5 years ago.
Say that again. You had testicular cancer first?
Yes. And then,
or you had lymphoma in the testes?
Well, it was testicular cancer that spread to my lymph nodes.
What does that have to do with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? That's a different disease.
Is it? Well, that's what it was. It might be Hodgkin's lymphoma, but basically I had cancer in my lymph nodes and my testicle.
All right.
And I had a pretty major operation, and they took out my lymph nodes. And ever since then, I've been unable to ejaculate and expel cum from my body. And my question is, first off, like, biologically, why, when they remove my lymph nodes, does that affect the cum expelling from my body? And secondly,
you bring out this poetic nature in people, Busy.
I know,
I blame you.
It's really interesting.
lymph nodes in your groin?
Well, kind of in my stomach area.
In your abdomen.
And in my groin area.
Well, it's probably nothing to do with the lymph nodes. They must have done something else. They maybe clipped a nerve or something when they were in there operating. Because it's a big operation to clean out all those nodes.
Mm. Yeah, so it was 8.5 pound tumor that they removed. It was the size of a football, and I'm a pretty small guy. So.
Oh, my gosh. Wow,
awful.
Yeah.
And what probably, did you have chemo also?
I had chemo. It was bleomycin and cisplatin and something else.
All right, so that's all testicular cancer type of intervention. I mean, that's probably just testicular cancer. And that can screw up your sex drive and your ejaculatory function, too. You probably have something called retrograde ejaculation.
Yeah, it empties into my bladder, yeah.
Right, which is just an abnormality of sort of the valve, basically.
And then you pee it out later?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice?
There was a guy in college who swore that he could
push a certain spot
yep. and then yep. redirect it and then pee it out later.
He can do that. But that's not a birth control method if anybody's thinking about trying that.
No, he used it so that he could masturbate anywhere and not have to.
That's right. That's what these guys do.
You don't need to.
But wait, do you still have the same sensation, though?
Yeah. The feeling's exactly the same and everything. It's just there's no mess involved.
You have Lance Armstrong's illness, basically.
Yeah, basically. Is there, basically, I guess, and my second question was, my chances for having a kid are pretty much zero.
Right. Usually they have you store some sperm beforehand. They didn't offer you that?
No, they did, but I was, 20 years old and, working dead-end jobs and stuff at the time and couldn't really afford it. So.
All right, well, I'm just glad you're good. You're here,
Yeah, exactly. I'm fortunate to be here and recovering and stuff.
Yeah.
How do lymph nodes control that, though? I mean, what's...
No, it's not. Stop thinking about it being related to your lymph nodes. It's not that the lymph nodes are gone. It's that the surgery had a side effect and or the chemo had a side effect of interfering with the nerves that control that function.
The whole trauma of the whole thing.
It's the whole... Yeah, it's not that the lymph nodes are gone. It's the surgery itself. Anna, 25?
Hi.
Hey.
I think it's a very interesting situation. I had some neighbors move in across like the little cul-de-sac in my apartment community I think it was in January, maybe late December. But I became pretty good friends with the guy, and his girlfriend has always been kind of like a, I don't know, just this hag, But
how do you actually feel about her, though? Is she a nice person? Is she delightful? Is that the kind of word you'd use? Or just hag?
No, hag.
Hag, okay.
She's a hag.
Yeah,
hag.
All right.
Hag. I mean, I didn't have any designs on him or anything. Mm. And I just kind of thought, I'm younger than her.
Okay, so now you guys have slept together, and what happened?
No. Mm-hmm. We did make out a couple months ago, but we didn't
okay. All right.
All right. Anna, what is your question? What is your question?
I found out on Monday that this girl is my half sister by my father.
Uh-huh. And you're from Kentucky.
Right across the... No, the funny thing is I was conceived and born in Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, well, that explains everything. And if we play that damn banjo music, if there were ever a call.
I know, for real.
Thank you. Her accent's not nearly thick enough.
Okay, so the hag is your half sister, and now you feel guilty about making out with her boyfriend?
No.
In the cul-de-sac across the street?
That's the thing. That is so distracting, Anderson. Thank you.
All right, we just have a few seconds here, Anna. Can we wrap this up, or do we need to get into this in deeper detail?
What's the deal? What's the story?
Well, the funny thing is my dad had, well, I say dad, but I mean sperm donor.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. So he left a trail, and she's part of the hag is part of the trail. Here's the deal, Anna. Just stay away from these people, for God's sakes. You owe her nothing. You probably never known her your whole life. As you said, dad's just been a sperm donor. Yes, you're related. Yes, please be respectful. Please stay out of the chaos, more importantly.
Stop making out with the neighbor across the cul-de-sac.
For God's sakes. For God's sakes. Oh, my God. All right, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm disgusted with everybody tonight. Busy. I
don't know what it is. It's not me.
I blame you. It's not me. You. We never get called. Oh, well, maybe we do. 1-800-LOVE-191. Busy Phillips, UPN 830, Thursday night.
Thursday
night. That's
the
show. Love, Inc., and we'll be back. Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. She's Busy Phillips, not Adam Carolla.
No.
The show is on UPN 830 called Love, Inc., and we've just written a new episode during the break where she's going to come on some show that I'm broadcasting, and one of her clients are going to call in. And
hilarity will ensue.
Antics ensue. It'll be awesome. All right, let's get Holland on the line, who's 16.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm actually 16.
Right? 16.
Yeah. Okay, here's the deal. Like, when I was abandoned by my biological father when I was born, so, like, he's, like, in hiding and stuff.
In hiding?
What does that mean? Yeah, it sounds very cryptic.
Like, he owes me, like, 16 years of child support, like, a lot of money.
That kind of hiding. He's in Florida, you mean? Yeah. He's in Florida.
And... yeah, I heard all that stuff, like, you guys talking about yesterday night. And when I was like 5 to 6 years old, I was molested by my, babysitter's husband.
Fantastic.
And yeah, I know, huh? Yeah. Wonderful. You know, and, I was like molested for like 2 years by him. And I never found that out until like I was 13.
How'd you find it out?
Well, cause my sister was just joking around and she was like, have you ever been raped or molested? And I was like, no, what are you talking about? And then like later that night when I got home, I was really thinking about it, and I was like, oh my God, my babysitter's husband molested me.
Wow.
Well, listen to her voice.
The baby voice.
It's the kid voice of the,
Of the Arrested Development. You what?
Yeah,
little girl.
Well, that's what happens oftentimes when women are sexually abused. They sort of, for whatever reason, we've noticed this on this show frequently, is that their voice sounds like basically the age they were when the molestation began, as though some part of you arrests in terms of the development.
Well, but see, another thing is like
whatever.
I'm addicted to having like intercourse with my boyfriend.
Well, that's what tends to happen. Is if you remember, we had a few calls ago, a guy was complaining that he masturbates 8 times a day and he had to have sex all the time.
I don't masturbate, though.
No, I understand. But my question always at first is, were you sexually abused? Because that's what leads to sexual compulsion and sexual addictions.
Yeah.
Did you ever tell your parents or your mom? I mean, not your parents, your father's gone, but your mom. Did you talk to your mom about it?
Yeah, I told her one time when we got in a fight and, you know, it just kind of came up and she, like, stopped the car because we were in the car. She, like, stopped the car and she's like, what? Why didn't you ever tell me this? I was like, I just found out, like, 3 years ago, you know, and it's, like, it's not something that, like, I just want to go out and, like, tell her, you know, it's, like, in...
Well, now she does know. Is she going to help you do something about it?
She didn't really do much at all. I mean,
well, you need to see a therapist. You do need to see some a mental health professional because
I've seen therapists before, you know.
Yeah.
But like, this was before I found out that I was molested.
All right, but it's time to go back and see somebody on your terms because you want to help take care of yourself.
Yeah.
All right. But are you? But now what?
My mom now, she has become she uses methamphetamines.
Fabulous.
Oh my God.
Fantastic. Your mom was sexually abused too, right?
My mom? I think so, by her uncle.
There we go. Mm-hmm. The circle of life. Fantastic. Well, let's break it. You don't become an addict as well.
You don't marry
a sexually abusing a-hole that abandons your kids.
I just got sober from using,
like
3 months ago.
Late.
Like, I stopped for my boyfriend because he, didn't like that, and I stopped.
Honey. Where are you?
Huntington Beach.
In Huntington Beach. Okay, there are resources available in Huntington Beach. You need to go somewhere.
Yeah, because of my mom, because I'm staying with my uncle's house, you know, and we have no relation to him at all.
Call your uncle.
Right, Uncle Larry.
No. He's my aunt's ex-husband, you know, and
he was an uncle.
My mom and him used to be best friends when she was like 18, mm-hmm. and out of the kindness of his heart, he took us in, and he has a daughter named Alex, and she uses too.
I want to start screaming. I want to reach through the microphone here and just grab Holland and just start throttling her. Not in a bad way, but just to shake some sense into her. Look, Holland, really, honey, the best thing that I could imagine you getting involved with, given the complexity of the problems here, is some sort of 12-step process. That's a tall order at 16. It's very hard to do that. Given that you're not going to probably do it, why don't you find yourself a mental health professional, therapist, psychiatrist that you feel comfortable with, who can kind of monitor you and keep you out of trouble as you get through this landmine we call adolescence. But ultimately, you are going to need some kind of 12-step process to glue this all together. That, in my experience, has the highest probability of really helping you, given this complex and really serious situation. You're a severe trauma survivor. You were sexually abused. You're sexually compulsive. You're an addict. That all has real serious prognostic implications.
I will say, your boyfriend, from what you mentioned, sounds like he's an okay kid since he wants you to stop using drugs, since you stopped using drugs for him, basically. And it sounds like you're calling because the sexual compulsion bothers him a little bit. So maybe he can help you, in finding something.
Here's a busy Phillips call. Elizabeth, 24.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Hi. I'm calling my boyfriend. And we regularly have intercourse while I'm on my period. And here recently, he's wanted to go down on me as well. And I just wanted to find out if there's any kind of health risks or problems with him doing that.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
I would agree.
I'm going to say that there's...
Is the correct answer.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
If he's into it.
Whatever.
He's one in a million.
He's a bold man.
He's a keeper.
Boldly go. Enjoy.
Good time.
You're you're monogamous?
Yes.
And you're healthy?
Yes.
Good times. All right?
Enjoy it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
There you go. Might want to keep, just for his sake, for his pleasure, keep something sort of in there that's absorptive, maybe. You know what I mean?
A towel?
No, I mean something, a tampon, maybe.
Interesting proposition. See, in my imagination of the scenario that she was describing, I thought it was just full on, he was into it.
He wants that. He wants the full action.
Yeah.
Now, I think guys are just sort of good to go whenever, and they're not going to let anything get in the way.
Requesting or wanting to give your girlfriend oral sex while she has her period is an intense order.
Here's the deal. He just wants to be involved sexually with her whenever, whatever.
Aw, that's sweet.
And you could do him the favor of... Now, here's the problem with the tampon. And some women have trouble orgasming with something's inside at all. And so it could make it difficult for her. Whatever. Good times. Adam, 20.
Hi, is that me? Okay.
Yeah, it's you.
My girlfriend, she just, she was accepted as a suicide girl.
What does that mean?
A suicide girl are these girls that are online, right?
Yeah.
And they pose naked?
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like tattooed and pierced and like hot.
Yeah, well, goth. My girlfriend's not tattooed or pierced, but she is hot.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great. Good for you.
I mean, she's a good girl, and she wants to do things in life. And I'm very afraid that if she goes ahead and does this,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna hurt her down the line.
Yes,
and
agreed.
I don't know. I'm debating whether I should threaten with breaking up with her to get her to...
If she's hell-bent on this, Adam, it
ultimatums,
means something.
Yeah, but ultimatums generally don't work anyway,
right.
You know? She's...
Okay.
They just don't. And it'll just piss her off that you're trying to tell her what to do. That's the way she'll see it. I think that if you want to pose the thing to her as, you know, I care about you and your future, and I don't want you to, you know, be haunted by this, like I am haunted by the Maxim that I posed for.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
4 years ago.
Was that long ago?
Yeah, it was like a really long time ago.
And how do you feel about it?
I don't know. Well,
regretful, angry?
It's kind of
embarrassed.
Cool. No, it's kind of
cool.
Cool.
You like it.
But, you know, but with what I do, it's okay. I'm not going to be a teacher. You know, like kids aren't going to bring those pictures in. I knew a girl, Adam, I was friends with a girl, and I don't know if she's going to be listening, but she was a high school teacher, and she also was accepted by the suicide girls.
What is the suicide girl?
It's like a big thing online, right?
Yeah,
right? It's like a big website thing. And now they have like an album.
Are they just people sort of pin-up things?
Yeah, they're like, and they do...
The modern-day pin-up. That's what the girls are supposed to be, is the modern.
But they're like, they're regular girls. I mean, they're not like, it's maybe like a version of Perfect 10. And a lot of times it's not completely naked, is it?
No, sometimes it's not. It's meant to be artistic, and I just... you know?
That's cute. But I mean... But anyway, this girl that I was friends with, she was a high school teacher, and she almost posed for the suicide girls until I think it was her boyfriend was like, "Are you kidding? You think those kids aren't going to find it and bring it in?"
Right. And if she's hell bent on doing this and really won't listen to reason, that means something else. You know what I mean?
Right.
That suggests that they got a little chaos going here, and I don't know why or what's up.
Or maybe she just thinks it would be cool to like have some sexy pictures of herself, which I think can be totally healthy. But you know, maybe
just because you did it,
pictures of her, you know, I said, "Hey, I'll go do that." You know, that's cool.
You seem like a nice guy. Listen, Adam, nice guys finish last. No, you know what you should do? I think you should just say to her, just voice your concerns, and at the end of the day, she's going to do what she's going to do, and it'll either be a train wreck or it won't.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with telling her that, you know, you think she should.
That is the bottom line.
It's
like any other codependency. Hold on, let me see.
On the computer. Where'd they go?
Yeah. Right here.
Come on, put it up.
Hot girls. There.
Hold on a second.
Wearing red lipstick. I'm trying to describe it because it's bad radio. See, they're like indie rock girls and like goth girls.
They look young.
Well,
we also have a radio show that kind of competes with this one, so we should probably move on.
Oh, really? They do?
Yeah.
Really?
What do they talk about?
Sex.
Stuff,
yeah. It's retarded.
I'm way more interesting than those girls.
They tell stories like, when I was in junior high, this boy said, "Do you want to make out with me?" And I'm like, "Okay." And then he wanted to have oral, and I'm like, "Okay."
Are they real? Are they for real?
I don't know. They're on radio, so I don't even know if you and
Drew
are
real.
I don't know.
You don't know.
Are you high, Anderson?
No.
Okay.
Where is Anderson?
He's at the other studio. You know,
little drunk.
Okay, all right. Good.
Nice.
That explains,
nice.
That explains a lot. All right, let's keep going here. Let's see. This is Jessica's 27.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm in recovery, and so is my husband. And
cool.
He's 41, and I'm 27.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pregnant when we were still in our addiction. But then
nice.
I got off the streets, and I was a street kid. I lived on the streets in Portland and in San Francisco.
Ooh.
I mean, for a year, for at least like 8 years. And,
wow.
So now,
you're one of the few that have survived and or made it off, right?
Yeah. So I always listen to your show, and I'm just like, yeah, it's like totally stuff that always happens. But my question is about sex, because me and my husband, I mean, I understand that he's a lot older than me, but and I'm just wondering if it's that or if it's the, because when we met, we were both using.
What's the question? I haven't heard the question yet.
I want to know why we don't have sex.
At all?
We do, but it's like so very few and far between. It's like
how often?
Once every 6 months.
Ooh.
Mm. We went like 8 or 9 months one time.
Wait, did you have this baby?
Yeah. We have.
So you have a child?
Yeah, he's 3.5 years old.
And is he, he's okay? He's good?
He's,
like no problems resulting from your drug use?
Not from my drug use. He has what's called ASD, autism spectrum disorder.
Ooh, that's autism.
But everybody's told me that it has nothing to do with any kind of, it, kids are just either born with it or not. So.
They don't quite know what autism is caused by. Some people think that it's genetics, and some people think that it's caused by inoculations or a combination.
It's actually a neurological thing, so it's I don't know.
What was your drug of choice?
Meth.
And what was your husband's?
Meth.
Is there any chance he's still doing drugs?
No. He works full-time. I don't think so. He works full-time.
Well, this is a common complaint from people on methadone and buprenorphine.
What's that?
Well, it's opiate replacement therapies.
Oh, no, we're not on that. We never did heroin or nothing like that. I mean, I've tried it, but I never did that, you know. It was just meth, you know, and...
Is he on any medication otherwise?
No, I think he's depressed.
Yeah, I think so, too, but it just all... Maybe to be that shut down
in
an addict...
Well, I go to
12-step
meetings. He doesn't.
Uh-oh. Mm. No, he's on something. How long ago?
Don't think he is. I really don't think he is. I mean, it's been 4 years.
No, Jessica, you kind of go with me on this one. Where the smoke, there's fire. His being 41 does not shut you down like that. Unless he had a long, severe drug history where he actually damaged himself.
He does. He has very long history.
And he maybe he caused some brain injury or something, but even that, you'd see other evidence of other kinds of problems. Yes, depression is a common problem with people that, A, have used drugs for a long time, B, people that try not to do drugs and don't get involved in recovery. They don't replace the drug with something. Essentially impossible. It just doesn't happen. That's the thing about addiction. It's people are dying to stop, literally. They can't. And so to say, well, I just put it down after being a severe addict, I just put it away. Nuh-uh. He's got to be on some Klonopin or methadone or something. Somebody's put him on something. And he maybe you don't know about it, or it smacks of that. I got to tell you, Jessica.
I don't understand.
It's that he's not in recovery. He has a physical symptom. His sex drive is profoundly depressed. Now you could say, what's that?
It's probably that. And plus, instead of doing drugs, he's like, you know, obsessed with work. And when he gets home, all he does is clean the house.
Jessica, come on. Jessica,
no.
He's on something.
No, he's not. I can tell if he's on something. I mean, I don't know. I just think that it's something other than that. He's just ignoring his...
Ask him to take a urine drug screen just for the heck of it. Just for the fun. And I pretty much can predict you're going to find an opiate or stimulant in there. And you don't just give up a lifelong drug habit. You don't just put that down and then... replace it with nothing. It's a struggle in an active recovery program. You know that. All right. Here's Tess 26. Tess?
Oh, hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I was calling because I had a question. Mm-hmm. I'm into the whole like S&M thing, you know? And I was just curious, like, is it going to lead to like something bad sexually later on in my life? Am I going to be like 30 and like a pedophile or something like that?
Oh, my God. Weird that you would go there.
I mean, because everything is, like, you know, when it's dealing with, like, sexual addictions or whatever, it's always something negative. And, like, I'm just curious, is this going to end up negative?
I'm trying to follow your thinking.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah. Did something happen to you when you were growing up?
No, it's just, like, S&M is so taboo, you know?
Were you molested when you were growing up?
No.
And what kind of S&M are you into? What do you do?
I'm into, like, the asphyxiation thing.
Ooh.
And I like the bondage stuff. Some of that is okay. I mean, I'm not, like, into it, like, a whole lot. You know, like, that's not every time I'm active, I'm not into it, but I do.
That all smacks of having been physically abused growing up, having been sort of smacked around a bit, huh? Yeah. Yes.
I got spankings.
Yeah. So you're beaten as a kid, and that tends to create...
I wouldn't go as far as to say beaten. I mean, I wasn't, like, hauled up in a fetal position in the corner, but...
You weren't beaten to death. You weren't beaten to hospitalization. You were physically abused as a child, which creates oftentimes this preoccupation with sexual stimulation around physically abusive behaviors. That happens. That's what happens. And so there you go. It doesn't mean you're going to become a pedophile. It doesn't mean you're going to go outside of the S&M realm. It does mean that your sort of sexuality is tied up with this fetish, and it's hard to be intimate with somebody when you're just into all the fetishistic stuff. And it's best in terms of your relationship not to go too far down that path, because that becomes all about that then, and it sort of distances yourself from the relationship. Your boyfriend's not into this, right?
Well, I mean, he doesn't, not into it, but I think he just does it. Because
for you. All right, that's fine. That's fine. Just kind of contain this. Don't let it spiral out of control. Gratifying fetishes, I think, can get out of control. You know what I mean? You ever been with a guy who likes
no.
weird stuff?
Yeah. No, I never have.
No.
No, it's true.
It's Love, Inc. Your show is called Love, Inc.
It's fun. It's on at 8:30.
Thursday night. 8:30. Must have all kinds of stories about weird fetishes and stuff. No,
not yet.
No, you gotta no. go. When
well,
the ratings
start, the family
lacking,
crowd. It's the family crowd. Right after
when the ratings
hates
sag,
Chris.
When the ratings sag, you're going there.
Yeah, we're gonna go there.
But it's fetishes generally. I
watch a lot of SVU though. Law and Order SVU.
You like that? Oh, would they have?
I'm
weird
addicted
fetish?
To it.
Really? Do you know her mother was James Mansfield?
Yeah, of course. She was in the car.
That's what I heard.
She was in the car when her, and I guess she wasn't really decapitated.
What
she
happened?
Just like something cut her neck and she died.
Ooh.
But it wasn't. Like a full decapitation, which is what I had always heard
Me
the story
too.
Was.
How'd you hear it wasn't?
Some agent or something. like literally, like how I get all my real information from like an agent or a manager. Well, somebody I trust in the biz, you know.
Oh, that's good. That's good. But anyway, the fetishes generally are responses to overwhelming feelings about being close to other people. And it's a way of making that tolerable by distancing yourself from the other person. By creating this focus that you can kind of look at and stay focused on and sort of be aroused by mm-hmm. as opposed to the person being involved in it. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And it can get a little weird, but it's nothing, big W wrong with it. But it's not the greatest thing for a relationship. So there you go. Let's take one more quick one. This is Michelle, 22.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Okay, this is going to sound kind of weird. Okay, I'm dating this guy. And I've been dating him for probably like 3 months.
That was just for the
Sorry.
Record. That was busy hitting the
totally
mic.
Totally hit the mic so with that, my head.
Didn't hit, yeah, just she just bashed her face
into
mic.
The microphone. So, I apologize.
I get crap totally. From Adam for tapping this mic every night. You just bashed your face into it.
I have no depth perception. We can talk about that later.
All right. This is Hello? Proof of that.
Oh,
proof
go
of
on, go love. On.
Michelle, 22. Yes, what's going on?
Okay. So I'm dating this guy, and I've kind of been dating him for like maybe 3 months.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 1 month of which he was not like in town, so he was out of town. So the first month of our kind of getting to know each other was totally on the phone.
Okay.
Wait, how many months you been dating?
Three
months. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so the first month he was out of town. So then he came back. So really, we've been dating in the same like place and seeing each other for like 2 months. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Got that part. So
good times.
He's okay. He's like an athlete. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's a good athlete. And he's new, and he's, like, really good-looking and cool and popular guy, right? So I've totally, totally, completely been like, okay, I'm holding out with sex, right?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I'm funny about athletes. Like, just because it seems like it would be so easy for him to get sex, but it's kind of like, I'm going to make it hard.
You want to set yourself apart. You want to be the girl that doesn't put out, expecting that he's going to stay around and have a relationship with you, but in actuality, he's not going to because he just wants to have sex.
Yeah, none of
right?
guys are not into games. I don't know where women get that. They'll go for a little challenge, but it will not change how he, whether or not he's in with this relationship.
Really?
That is, he's either in or he isn't. If he's in, he's in.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what's happened now?
Okay, so it's been, I don't know, like a little over 2 months, I guess, that we've been dating. Like, we do a lot of stuff. You know, like, we go to movies, we go to dinner, we go to lunch, we do all kinds of stuff.
Right.
So, he's in.
Right. He's really, really good to me. But it's just the whole athlete thing. I just don't trust athletes.
Well, then get rid of him. It's up to you, Michelle. You're going to punish this guy because he's an athlete?
Right.
I know, and that's really bad. It's fine because I've had a lot of athletes that are friends. I've never
What's
dated.
With you that you're always with these athletes
right,
who treat you bad?
Right,
this is the theme of the evening that we never got to.
Here's the deal.
I've never dated any of them, so none of them ever treated me bad, but I've just known, like, I've had friends
sport athletes. Like guys.
Well, not everybody, not all athletes are the same.
And I know that they aren't, but it's kind of like I just really, really have to get to know him. And plus, in my whole life, I've only slept with one other person.
Okay.
It's not something that I jump into regardless.
All right, well, that's a different scenario. That's fine. Then you wait till you're comfortable, regardless of whether he's the president or an athlete or whatever.
Right.
But what?
It does make me wait a little bit longer because he is. And I know that it probably isn't right, but it's
Well, if you've got the intestinal fortitude, it's a nice test to see how in the guy is.
Right.
It's not going to make him more in, but it's going to tell you whether he's up for this in a real way or not.
No, I think 2 months is pretty intense.
No, it's good. It's good. I don't know how much longer it's going to make him wait. 22.
Well, I don't think it's probably going to be much longer. But here's what happened. So last week, I got really, really drunk, and I'm like, hey, what's up? Want to hang out? And ended up having sex.
With the athlete guy?
Yeah, with the athlete.
So what has this call been about so far? Why are you calling us?
Probably for like 3 minutes, right? 3 minutes, and then...
That's embarrassing. Yeah, somebody's calling me. Sorry,
not because it was embarrassing, because I stopped it. Because I was kind of thinking, I was like, what are you doing? So I was kind of like, stop. Somebody lied, and I was like, I feel really, really nauseous. Like, I'm going to throw up. I probably drank too much. I have to go.
Okay.
What's your question?
So I jumped up and left. So I still, as of now, I don't really want to have sex. So I'm wondering, can I go back to the not having sex, even though I...
You can. It's going to freak him out because the male brain doesn't work like that.
It's kind of mean. Whatever you're doing is kind of mean.
Yes, I agree with you, Vizzy.
It's like weird, and I don't understand what the purpose is, and I don't understand what you're talking about athletes for. This is just weird and mean.
Cheers. I agree. Like, it is. It's kind of weird.
It's like weird and manipulative, but it like doesn't really make any sense. If she'd had some weird history with athletes, I would maybe understand. But then it turns out she doesn't have a weird history with athletes. Yeah. She's just being mean for kind of like no reason.
Yeah.
And then she like calls the guy over because she's horny and drunk and has sex with him for 3 minutes and then kicks him out.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah,
weird.
It's time to really get it going and get on with this.
Like, either do it or don't.
Speaking of getting on, we got to go to break. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Busy Phillips is my co-host.
Hi.
And we're taking a little break. Be right
Bye.
Back.
If you need
help, call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Everybody, Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We are delighted to have Busy Phillips in Mr. Corolla's seat. Graciously, thankfully, here we go.
Wow.
Let's get...
it's lovely.
Shelly, who's 20.
Hi.
Who?
I had a question. I have a really bad problem with being attracted to older men, like 29, 31, 32, and I'm 20 years old. And I have no problem getting with them, you know, like, you know, just being their girlfriend, hanging out, being friends. But it seems once I get past that, it's nothing for me. Nothing happens. I don't feel anything. I don't want anything. And I just feel bored with it.
So you have intense attraction after the conquest, or once the relationship is established, you get quickly bored.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's bored, or I don't know if it's like fear of going further.
So you just, you know, you're not ready. Either you're not ready, or you don't want, or you have trouble with intimacy.
I don't know, like, because I've always been surrounded by older people just my entire life.
But forget the issue of them being older. Just the fact that you have an intense attraction that you follow through on, but then become rejected. It's like, it's that old saying, I'd never want to be a member of a club that would have me as a member.
Oh my God, that's my favorite saying.
Isn't that
the Groucho Marx?
Yeah, isn't that what this is?
That's like, pretty much what it is.
If these guys would have me, they're not worth it.
Yeah, they're not worth it. That's a whole issue that you have to deal with about why do you think, you know, it's like you're seeking this validation from older people, but then once you have it, you think there must be something wrong with them, or you're not into it, or you just want out.
Because I've only had like maybe two or three boyfriends, but I mean, each one of them is
like two of them are already married. One of them, you know, whatever. But
Shelly, you might just work this through. This doesn't necessarily a sign of horrible trouble. If you've had horrible trauma, you can go ahead and tell me right now, because that's more the issue if you've had that. If you haven't and you're just doing this now, you're going to kind of sort this out, I suspect.
Well, I don't know if I have had horrible trauma. I mean, I guess you could say my dad like sexually abused me, but I don't really know what to classify it as.
What do you mean you guess you could say your dad sort of sexually abused you?
I know,
saying that sounds so weird and so dumb, but I mean, it happened when I was 18. I was 18 years old, and I was still living at home.
Uh-huh.
And I would hear him, you know, masturbate and things like Oof. That. And, you know, it got to the point where one time I called the cops and asked them, you know, was there anything I can do? And they said, not really. And,
hold on here. Was he an alcoholic or something? It was sort of out of his mind?
After the whole thing was confronted, he did admit that he was an alcoholic.
All right, so he was loaded, didn't know what he was doing. It was jacking off in front of his daughter. It's awful. That's awful. Thank God you were 18 and not 8.
Yeah.
No kidding.
And it was really hard, but, like, my mom, like, just she confronted it and then just kind of ignored it and acted like it never happened. And still to this day, you know, they still act like nothing ever happened. So I never
And so
really
you moved it. Out, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, this day was only 2 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, and I moved out about a month ago.
Were things okay prior to the age
You
of
only
eight?
Moved out a month ago? You didn't move out right after that happened?
Yeah, I didn't move out until
Come on, Shelly.
Shelly.
Come on.
I had no choice. I
understand.
I know.
Were things okay when you were younger, when you were a child?
Well, I always knew that's like how everything blew up when I was 18. Like, I always knew my dad was cheating on my mom. I knew for like 13 years. Never said. And, you know, then it kind of, my mom started talking to people at his office and found out what was going on. And then, so that whole came up. And then I mentioned to her what he had done because she used to travel a lot. And he did it when she wasn't home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mentioned it to her. And she brought him to marriage counseling. He doesn't care. He doesn't believe in therapy or anything like that. And so, I mean, the situation was never solved. You know, he still
All right, Shelly, here's the deal. You've got, listen.
You know, if he tries to quit smoking, he drinks.
Shelly. You, Shelly.
So it's just one addiction or another for him.
Shelly. Right.
So Shelly. Shelly. Shelly.
No one ever said, it was sexual abuse. You were abused. You
well, music, Anderson.
I went to a counselor and everything, and they never said anything to me. They just said,
Shelly.
Shelly. Like I said, we'll just get back to her in a few minutes. Let's see where she is.
I think she's up now.
I just need a little break. I don't think so. I just need a little break for this. Let's see. Music down.
Hello.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Hi.
No.
No.
Hello.
Hi.
We're here. Shelly, can you hear us?
It's her phone. Her phone cut out. She's talking on a cell phone. She's driving down the freeway. Her phone cut out.
Shelly?
Turn on the radio.
Shelly, can you hear us? Shelly?
Am I right?
I think you're right. Oh, she's listening to the radio now.
Now she's listening to the radio. Oh, no. And she thinks... Okay.
There she is.
No. Hi.
Wow, that's a big delay.
I know, it's good. There we go.
Hi,
Shelly,
there you go. Shelly!
Can you hear us? Shelly?
Hello?
Shelly.
You hear us?
Hi.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
We hear you. Take off the mute.
This is more that bad radio we were talking about.
I know.
Okay, turn it up. Okay, whatever.
The suicide girls are going to outcompete us. all right, here's the deal with Shelly. Shelly's dad may not believe in therapy, but Shelly needs to believe in therapy.
Yes, big time.
Actually, Shelly, this is relatively small. This is a relatively minor league
stuff.
Yeah,
it kind of, I mean, she sounds
She is sane. She's okay, but she's got some stuff to work through, and she's acting it out through these relationships, and it makes perfect sense given what she's been through.
Right.
Of course, closeness is going to be very treacherous and unpleasant, and every time she gets close to somebody, it's going to be, oh, my God, no, fat.
Right.
Look what I'm into.
And
I'm
she's in, looking at these and, older guys.
And God, on some level, the dad masturbating has got to be right around the corner when the old man gets close to her. Shelly, therapy. Guys your own age. Take your time. Easy.
Yeah,
you're only 20.
I think she's going to be fine.
She's going to be fine.
I hear it in her voice.
I agree with you. Jacob, 21.
Yes.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, I have a neurological disorder.
The name for it?
It's actually benign Rolandic seizures.
Okay.
When I'm asleep, the deepest form of sleep, maybe anywhere from 4 to 6 o'clock if I go to bed on time, I have a seizure sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you have night terrors and night you get frozen and that kind of stuff in the middle of the night?
It's a grand mal seizure. I'm like flopping around on the floor. Yeah, I've split my face open. I've dislocated my arm to the point where I needed surgery for
it.
But
got it.
Aside from that, I'm good.
Cool.
My doctor decided that I was becoming depressed. He noticed that when I was coming in for my appointments, well, you don't really seem yourself today, which I don't know what that means. He put me on two different medications for my seizures, one which I did some research on the internet. It turns out to be an antidepressant / anti-seizure medication.
Neurontin?
I was taking Neurontin for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. However, they took me off of that because me and my father both went and said, hey, we've heard some nasty stuff about this. I mean, people...
Neurontin?
Yeah.
Neurontin is a benign medicine that we use very routinely, and it's an excellent medicine. But go ahead. So you got off the Neurontin.
Okay. Well, we got off the Neurontin. I'm currently taking Keppra and Tegretol.
Well, Keppra is a new medicine. It's a levetiracetam.
Yes, and Keppra has not yet been passed by the FDA. However, it didn't really have any results. I've been taking that ever since I was 18.
Yeah, Keppra's I don't have huge confidence in Keppra, but Tegretol is an old medicine, been around for a long time, and it's good.
Right.
You could also try Trileptal, which is a cousin of Tegretol. But so what's the question?
Well, the question is, ever since I've been taking... I was taking Keppra for the longest time. My doctor noticed that it wasn't doing anything, and she also decided that, well, you're not really acting like yourself. So she put me on Tegretol as well, and me and my father, once again, doing our, you know, research through the internet, through what we both believe to be, you know, excellent resources.
Jacob.
I'm sorry?
All the information in the world does... If you read everything that was available out there, you would have the same knowledge as a second-year medical student. You're taking advice from people who've had dozens of years of clinical experience and seeing in real life, in real time, how these medications work and affect people. What do you think happens in the 8 years of training that follows second-year medical school? The stuff, all the information you bring in, we know as doctors by the time we're in our second year of medical school. The next... 8 years is spent actually seeing this in the human being and developing judgment and wisdom about how to apply these things. All your research is coming in and telling the doctor, like, the sky is blue.
The reason why direct-to-consumer marketing of prescription medication is so awful, because...
Well, it's fine to have patients informed and stuff, but to think that puts you in a position to make good judgments about extremely complex situations is fallacy. Believe me, why would we keep training after the second year?
All the information's
in our head.
Drew, he's really anti-Tegretol.
I don't know where
he's really against it.
Let's take another. Taking a quick call. This is Jay, who's 25. Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
You have a question for Busy?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Go.
Okay. Hey, I can't seem to hold a relationship for more than a couple of months, and I keep being told that it's because of my job.
What do you do?
I'm a security contractor, so I'm gone a lot.
What does a security contractor do?
Security for VIPs in the Middle East.
Interesting.
So you go...
That's intense.
You go away overseas?
Yeah.
Well, it must be hard. I mean, what do you... I'm getting frustrated by people today.
I want to know about the job. I don't care about the relationships.
Right, go ahead.
So this is really interesting. So it's kind of like a high-risk job that you put yourself in?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. I was in the Marine Corps for a long time, and then I got out and tried college, whatever. It sucked, and I just decided to do this because I do the same job I did while I was in, but now I get paid appropriately.
Right.
But I meet girls, and like, oh, well, that's really cool, whatever. And then I leave for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 6 months, and I come back, and they're like, I can't deal with this.
Well, it's hard. Okay, first of all, you're just starting to date someone, then you leave for 6 months. And secondly, you're going to, like, a war-torn part of the world where you might get killed. I mean, let's just be honest.
They don't want to get attached to
I don't want to get attached to the guy who's going to go get killed.
My curiosity and frustration, because I'm feeling that way, why is this a mystery to you?
I mean, it's like really...
You're gone for 6 months with no relationship.
But I mean, like, as where I'm coming
you
from.
Should start, you should start, well, not a lot of, you should like, Christina Amanpour or whatever. You should be, like, you should be, like, some hot reporter's VIP security in the Middle East and start some, like, hot, torrid love affair with, like, a middle-aged reporter woman from CNN. And that would be... That's where you need to look.
That's Busy's advice.
That's Busy's advice.
Find somebody who's on TV overseas and have some kind of illicit, bizarre affair with her.
That, like,
or
they
him.
Will,
make
but,
it even really
right, because they will have the bond of being in this place together.
But here's the deal with Jay.
There's
Jay,
no mystery.
Here's the deal.
Jay.
Other people exist. Other people have feelings. That's my advice to you, Jay. That this mystery about how someone could not wait for you for 6 months.
I don't get it. We went on 2 dates. She seemed really into me, and then I went to the Middle East for 6 months. I came back. She was with some other guy.
And I understand with some people, just sort of contending with other people's feelings and the fact that they have feelings is mysterious and difficult. And Jay's one of those guys. Jay, look, you got a great job. That's excellent. Stay with that. But
yeah, it sounds like it's really good for you.
Relationships have certain needs. See, buddy. And women kind of know what the relationship needs. Instinctively, they know it. Jay, you don't know it. And go ahead and follow their lead. And if you want to have a relationship, ask, you know, follow what they tell you is necessary in order for their
How
relationship
to develop.
How old
was Jay, by the way?
25. And he's young.
He's 25, yeah, so he's going to go have fine. This, like, cool career and then have great stories.
It's good. It's all
He'll
good,
be
Jay.
Fine.
We're only talking to good, fun, cool people tonight. We're going to have great lives once they get over there. Just crap. All right, this is Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. Busy Phillips in here for Adam Carolla. The show is Love, Inc., Thursdays, 8:30 UPN, and we will be right back.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Love Line.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. We'll be right back.
Loveline, Busy Phillips is my guest and co-host here. And as I was going off about the poor, I forget the caller's name, who was the seizure disorder. I
Jay.
Push my all my buttons on information. People have, information is great. We live in the information age, but people put all too much emphasis on information and really don't understand the difference between information, judgment, and wisdom. And the fact is that just to reiterate this, by the time we're done with the second year of medical school, we have all the information. Then we spend the next 8 years developing judgment and wisdom based on experiential learning, being in real life experiences, which are complex, multiple variables moving all the time. And you develop a wisdom with these things. And all the internet information in the world is not going to give you that because you've not seen the nocturnal seizure disorder 8,000 times and tried the very hundreds of different medications for these different situations, these different given individuals. You use that experience to make judgments. And if you don't trust that, you're really making a huge mistake. It's like I've said enough. Busy Phillips.
How you doing?
Thursdays airs. It premieres tomorrow. What's the episode about? Love, Inc.
Tomorrow night, the pilot episode, as we like to call it, the first episode of any TV series, is about my character. We're matchmakers, and my character gets a call from an old boyfriend, and she sort of mistakenly thinks that he's looking her back up because they were so good together, and then it turns out that he really just wants her services as a matchmaker.
Aww.
It's a little disappointing.
Hilarity.
It's hilarity.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
It's so funny. It's really fun.
I'm going to be on the show soon.
Yeah.
Christina, 23.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Actually, I have a question about canker sores.
Yeah.
I've had them all my life. Mm-hmm. And tonight I actually got a call from my boyfriend, and he was asking if I'd possibly given them to them. And now I don't really know much about them. I just kind of figured that they were, you know, something that they were always there.
They tend to be viral, and they can be transmitted.
And you how can. Are they?
By contact, touching, like kissing or putting your mouth on a genitalia, that'll transfer it down
If you have a cold sore, right?
If you have an active lesion, yes.
Canker sores and cold sores are the same exact thing?
No, they can be different, but they both could be transmitting virus to other people.
Okay.
What did he get?
He kind of was a little pissed because he found one in his mouth and I hadn't had one in a while.
Oh,
and
probably. So what?
Maybe he had too much citrus.
Well, I mean, he wasn't pissed. He was just kind of like, you know, a little
now he was a little annoyed because he might have to deal with it for the rest.
He's never had a canker sore before, ever?
No, he has actually. He gets. He has herpes 1 though.
But that is herpes 1. What are you talking about?
He gets cold sores.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Same thing. Same thing.
Okay.
But what, your boyfriend's too bitchy.
Yeah, it's weird that he's getting mad about a canker sore when he has herpes.
Grow up. This is herpes 1,
right,
basically.
Right, right, right. But, like, that was his point. I have herpes 1, but now I have a canker sore. I'm pissed.
But, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, it's like I'm a cartoon character.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Mike, 27.
Uh-oh.
Here we are. Uh-oh. Yep.
Coco.
He's talking to his dog. Mike.
Yeah, sorry. I'm here.
Who's Coco?
Oh, that's Coco right there. What kind of dog is Coco?
That was Anderson.
On the street.
What?
All right, you there?
Coco was running in the street?
Yeah, he was about to. We just got home and opened the gate.
No, that's the dog.
That's Anderson.
No, but one of them is the dog, right, Anderson?
It's all him. What kind of dog is Coco?
I have no idea.
Magic of radio.
Just a little mutt.
Oh, okay.
Are you a Mormon?
Yeah. Love your dog. What?
What's that?
What's your question?
Are you a Mormon?
I've been taking this drug called Tramadol, okay, and I'm actually kind of addicted to it. Been taking it for about 6 or 7 months now.
Right, it's an opiate. Don't make a mistake about it. It's an opiate. I've had to
What's
treat.
What's it for?
It's for pain, but I've had to treat a lot of addiction to that drug.
And it is almost impossible for me to get off.
Well, it's an opiate.
I started with like 3 or 4 a day. I'm up to about 10 to 15. I tried to quit cold turkey for about 4 days, and it was hell.
What does he have to do? Go to rehab?
Yeah, you got to go to treatment. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. It's opiate. It's the same thing as Vicodin.
Don't you watch you don't watch Oprah and Dr. Phil when they have those, like, you roll your eyes to Dr. Phil. The bane of your existence, I'm sure.
No, actually, I'm beginning to sound more like... I've realized that's all about all you can do through media is just go, get over it, stop it, stop doing that. But when they deal with addiction, it is excruciating for me because the lack of sophistication and the potential harm they're doing with it is really problematic.
Okay, but anyway, the only way I'm going to be able to get off of it is if I go to treatment then.
Yeah, it's an opiate, and I don't believe, you know, there are people that you could try doing an outpatient detox. There's a medication called Subutex or Suboxone that is actually pretty good for outpatient detoxes. But if you are actually a genuine opiate addict and not just dependent on this drug, you won't be able to stay stopped. You will start going again. So you can try the outpatient detox, but my expectation would be that you're going to need to come inpatient somewhere because I've never seen opiate addiction successfully treated as an outpatient, if that's what you have. You certainly have dependency. That's why you have withdrawal. But most merely dependent individuals have no difficulty getting off these drugs. It's the dependent addict that really suffers with this.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question now. How do people get addicted to drugs when they start taking them for pain? How do they keep getting their prescriptions refilled? Because every time I've had an operation or something, it's like a limited refill.
I know. The doctor's not paying attention, or they go to multiple doctors.
Mm.
And that happens a lot. Okay. Busy Phillips is in here. It's been a great show with her.
Thanks.
We're still going to come back in after the commercial. The show is Love, Inc. It'll be on Thursday nights, 8:30 UPN, and we'll be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Amazingly, that does it. It's Loveline. Another one in the can. Busy, thank
fantastic.
You.
Fantastic.
Fantastic show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want you back as soon as possible. The show premieres tomorrow night for those of you listening in the West. That's September 22nd, 8:30 on UPN. It's called Love, Inc. It's a Thursday night show every week following...
Everybody Hates Chris.
Everybody Hates Chris. So this is Dr. Drew. Adam will be back tomorrow night. I'll actually be in Washington, D.C. calling in tomorrow night. And we've got... who's coming in tomorrow night? Coheed and Cambria? It's a band. Coheed and Cambria, a band. Fantastic. Later in the week, Jeff Probst. It's going to be a big week next week.
Eric Balfour.
Eric Balfour.
Everybody knows Eric Balfour.
Huge.
Nice.
Huge stars, only on this show. But until then, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.